This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today I have Matt Seafield on the line, and he is Executive Vice President at MedEvolve, Inc., and also founder of My Life Link. Matt, welcome to the show.
Welcome, yes. I'm excited to be on the show today.
All right, Matt. So excited to learn more about MedEvolve and also My Life Link. And to get us started, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So, Matt, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Matt, what mission matters to you?
I'm gonna do it in two parts, because I've got a mission here at MedEvolve and I've got a great at My Life Link. When I think of MedEvolve's mission, is that, you know, as a software company that has to live in the services world of healthcare, which has been exciting for years, is that we want to create a culture where the employees can come to work every single day empowered to do better today than they did yesterday. And the reason they can do that is because the organization actually has access to the information that allows them to be recognized, rewarded, and retained for the hard work that they do. And as a result, you have employees for life. And I think that's really when I break down MedEvolve, is that, you know, people that are out there in the healthcare revenue cycle space trying to get claims paid, right? They need to be recognized for all the work they do, and they need to be rewarded and therefore retained. In this world of labor now and all the craziness, and I'm sure we'll get a lot of this in the podcast, this is really, really important. My LifeLink side, you know, as a person in recovery myself, I had 5 years of sobriety in the fall of last year. I recognized the limitations that we have in society to connect people that are suffering from physical, emotional, and/or behavioral addiction. And so, when I founded My LifeLink, I wanted a way for individuals to really find people like them, right? And by opening up that flexibility, people are able to actually connect globally and start the healing process, start to encourage each other to stay sober, start to put their lives back together, start to build something extraordinary and transformational that they never thought was possible when they were in the throes of addiction. So I always say that if there are folks listening who need help or have family members or friends that need help, check out My Life Link. It's a free app. It's on Google and Apple, iTunes, easy to download and install. We'd love to have them in our community.
Oh, that's wonderful. Love bringing mission-based individuals on the line to share their mission, you know, why they do what they do, what motivates them to get out there and to make a difference in the world, which you obviously are. So great to have you on. And I guess just to get us kicked off here, so let's go into MedEvolve just to start, but we will circle back to My Life Link at some point, because I do want to get a little bit more information on that. But MedEvolve, so providing data solutions for healthcare businesses, you are addressing revenue cycles, medical billing. Tell us more about the company.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, MedEvolve has been around for a long time. I was founded by a couple of surgeons more than 20 years ago. Started out really as a billing software company, which morphed into a services component because a lot of physicians didn't want to do the billing themselves. They wanted to outsource it. But what we've really focused on the last few years is around building more workflow automation tools that actually drive work to individuals and then measures that work. You know, did they do the right job, right? And so you start to think about, you know, employees across the country, right? Across the world, right? You know, there's this new quiet quitting. People are acting, you know, I heard a term the other day called acting your wage. If you pay me $19 an hour, I'm only going to give you $19 an hour worth of work, right? I'm going to do just enough to not get fired, right? So there's this like pandemic of latency right now in the workforce. And what we've discovered is by measuring people and their work, we can actually recognize the winners, the ones who really are doing the best job they can, and we can actually economically reward and therefore retain them. And so that's where we focus. We built this software that I'm talking about to save our own RCM company, our services company, you know, quite a few years ago with losing profit margin. And if you think of all the challenges in healthcare now that are impacting provider profit margin, right? You've got 15, 20% increase in supply chain costs, increase in labor costs. You've got Medicare cutting reimbursement, commercial managed care starting to cut reimbursement, right? Doctors are working five times harder today for less money than they did 20 years ago. It's not a pretty picture, right? So what we feel is that if we can empower the employee to move heaven and earth to do the best job they can for their revenue cycle, we're going to give back as much margin as we possibly can. Can't give it all back because of all the things that are going on in this world of healthcare. But I can certainly give back some, and I can create a place where people want to work, right? If we're going to put 8 hours of work in, love what you do. Be proud of what you do. Tell your kids about what you do. Tell your friends and family, right? Let's get back to self-actualization as a society where we can set goals and we become obsessed with those goals and start to achieve those goals. Right. And that's, you know, you got to be able to measure though, right? It's like I tell people when I'm speaking at shows, if you want to lose weight, you got to set specific goals. You have to have ways to measure, right? Calories, exercise, steps, whatever, right? All these things that we're trying to do requires data to tell us whether we're doing the right job. I mean, I just got one of those Oura rings and I'm fascinated by it now because it tells me how I sleep. Like I woke up yesterday and it's like, basically, it didn't say you're going to have a bad day, but it was basically like you're probably going to need to rest today because of the lack of sleep and because of all the activity you did Saturday, right? So why aren't we doing this in the workforce, right? You know, and a lot of companies do this. Healthcare seems to always be 10 to 20 years behind. And right now, post-COVID, there's just no luxury to wait anymore. We've got to do it. And that's what Metaball is about. It delivers software that measures people so that you can recognize, reward, and retain your best ones.
Can you tell me a little bit more about this? Like, just go maybe a level deeper on what it means to empower employees at the workplace, specifically how Metavolve's doing it, because I think it sounds good, and it's something that I don't think anybody would hear that intuitively and be like, no, I don't want to empower my employees, right? Nobody's going to say that, but I would hope, but like, what does it actually, what does that look like in practice?
Yeah, so if you think about like the Ritz-Carlton or the Walt Disney model, right, they figured it out that you don't focus on the customer first, right? That's where businesses fail so much, right? They focus on the customer experience. What they figured out is you focus on the employees. It's called internal service quality. And so if you focus on the internal service quality, whereby you actually can measure people, empower people, recognize, reward people, then what ends up happening is those people drive the external service value, which is your customer experience, which then drives revenue and profitability. And I think a lot of businesses still don't get that, right? And healthcare, like where we live, because we have a large RCM company where we do revenue cycle functions for lots of specialties all over the U.S., we know it. We have 100 plus people. I mean, I have 48 people in my call center. So how do I create a culture that empowers those individuals through recognition and reward systems to want to do the best job they can, whether they're taking patient phone calls or they're following up on Blue Cross denials or they're coding claims or they're scheduling patients, right? They're all being paid today to do a job, right? But where's that next carrot? You know, and I always get, it's funny, at trade shows, a lot of times I'll be speaking and someone's like, well, I already paid them $19 an hour. I mean, isn't that good enough? That's the mistake people make. It's not good enough, right? Good enough. I mean, that's what you pay them. But for the folks that actually go up and move, you know, go beyond to really do the best job they can, what happens if you pay them a little bit more or do it as a form of point system? If they want to, you know, you want the new iPhone, great. You have enough points to go upgrade to it. You want a PTO day, great. There's lots of ways to reward people. But the point is it's the recognition, right? And if you think about the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, what we're talking about is not the bottom anymore of the triangle, right? Everybody assumes safety, right? It's all assumed now. Right. But what we're talking about is this culture where people need to be loved. Right. It's self-esteem. Why? How many likes do I have? How many listens do I have? Right. Are people recognizing me? Right. And what we're trying to get back to is the top of the triangle, which is self-actualization, which means I'm going to actually set goals for myself and I'm going to work to achieve those goals. I'm going to do every action possible to get the outcome I hope I get. Right. Desired outcome. And that's what I'm talking about with empowerment is recognition and rewards for people to want to do it. I mean, some people say, well, that's an interesting social experiment, you know, maybe it is, but I got to believe that if I'm spending 8 hours a day or more at a job, and I calculate that over my life, I certainly don't want to be in a situation where I don't feel like my company values me, you know, and doesn't recognize the work that I'm having to do. And you know, giving back a little bit more to employees in this model, the compounded ROI, the return on investment is huge. You know, and I actually came up with this idea back in 2003 when I was working for a large, I was in a consulting firm, Pricewaterhouse at the time, doing a big turnaround for a large health system in the Northeast. And, you know, I said, you know, if these company bills a dollar and they expect 96 cents back basically per contract, and they're only getting 90 cents back, what if I were to give a penny back to the employees that do the best job possible? What would that be? Way more than a penny in value, right? So it's like you can keep collecting 90 cents or you can collect 94 cents and just give one of those cents back to your employees. Everybody wins, right? But you got to go beyond the traditional employment model of I pay you $19 an hour and that's what you get and you get your 2 weeks of vacation and blah, blah, blah. You can't do that anymore. This whole world, workforce world has changed. Literally, right? I mean, it's not even a generational thing. I used to make fun of the Gen Zs and the millennials. I don't even do that because it's not even generational. I mean, this is all generations has changed. My Gen X has changed the way they work and what they expect and work-life balance, right? And flexibility. It's all changed. So we got to adopt new models and new ways of thinking.
Yeah. And I like the way that you mentioned the $19 an hour or just looking at pay. It's not really, I mean, that's a piece of the overall compensation and the overall like employee experience, but it's just a piece of it. And what you're talking about, it makes so much sense that people are now, especially now that people have had time to kind of reflect while things were shut down, it was almost like a reset and people were thinking about, am I on the right path? Am I doing something that I actually want to spend my time on? And they started thinking about work as a, you know, a piece of their life that's more than just where I go to collect that 19 bucks. So yeah, it's great. It's a great timing and it's a great, great program. I mean, it makes complete sense. I want to spend a little bit of time now. I want to talk for a bit about my LifeLink. So I think that's a really interesting and needed project. Like, now how did this come about? Like, what was the idea or the impetus for this?
Yeah. So I had struggled for years with alcohol. And, you know, when I finally got to that point of, you know, they call it spiritual bottoms, right? Where I realized like I had to go away to disconnect from the world and really start to learn how to live, you know, a quality life without trying to numb myself out with alcohol. I checked into a recovery center, prestigious recovery center, ironically. And I remember when I went through the program, it was great. I felt empowered. When I checked out, the lady was checking me out and she said, "Hey, call this guy. He's an alumni and he lives in San Diego." And I said, "Cool, is he sober?" And she looked at me and she's like, "Well, I hope so." And then I said, "Well, what does he do for a living? Is he a surfer? Because I'm a surfer. Could we go surf together and talk about recovery? Like, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a dad, I'm a coach." And she's like, "Oh man, those would be great things to know." And I'm thinking to myself as a former entrepreneur, like, how can I go on to match.com or cars.com and put in all these attributes and match with my ideal person or car? But where do I match with people in my zip code who figured out a pathway to recovery and a healthy, happy life? Where's that app? It doesn't exist. So hence my entrepreneurial brain took over and I said, I got to put this out there. And that's the whole experience, right? The whole experience is go and find people you can relate to. Right? I can't relate to a war veteran who's been incarcerated, who had a DUI, who's been unemployed for 10 years. I can relate that he may be an alcoholic, but beyond that, I can't relate to all the other lifestyle things, right? The social determinants. So how does he find somebody like him who's figured it out, right? And they may not live in San Diego. Maybe they live in New Zealand, right? But it doesn't matter, right? Because it's all virtual now, virtual connectivity. And when tribes that are similar can get together, that's where healing really begins. And that's really what we've done is we've created a sober tribe here where people can create groups and specialization around topics and lifestyle and jobs and everything is try to figure out how we're gonna better ourselves. And what's been really fascinating about this community is how so much of this is focused now on emotional sobriety, is that we have lots of forums now where people are realizing that it's not about alcohol or drugs or exercise or workaholism. It's about trying to escape from feeling. And we as humans like to escape from feeling. We don't want to feel bad, right? And so a lot of us will numb ourselves to that. We like to look at the why are you feeling bad? Are you creating a future that hasn't existed yet, hasn't happened yet? Are you resenting the past that already happened? Are you not living in present moment? And so starting to bring emotions has been a huge healing factor for our community. And then really the last component of it is it's just bringing a platform where people can track the things that they do, right? So you can track all the things you do throughout the day to help yourself, like exercise, meditate, read, and then service work, right? Big thing in recovery for me is giving back, right? Building self-esteem for me is about being selfless. So, you know, when I coach high school track or I coach Little League, right, I'm clicking the button. I served others. I complimented people. I encouraged people. It not only reinforces to me the things I'm doing to stay recovery, it's showing the community the work that I'm putting into staying recovery. And that's the other thing, right, is it's making sure that people understand that this takes work. Right. It takes work. You probably in your mind right now can think of at least 3 or 4 people that have an issue with either emotional, physical or behavioral addiction. Right. Some of which may be focused on that and some may not get it yet. Right. The statistics are alarming. And you look at now with social media. In fact, you and I were talking about this before we got started. Right. Look at our kids. Right. Always connected. Always connected. My kid's going off to a 6th grade camp with no technology for a week. And I'm thinking to myself, like, are these kids going to be OK? Right. Think about it. That was their dopamine fix, right? iPads, YouTube, TikTok, right? You take that away, that's like taking alcohol away from an alcoholic. So how do we get around that? How do we get ahead of that with this new generation of folks that are going to have so many more things to fall addiction to, right? Virtual reality, I mean, you name it, right? All of it is trying to escape from feeling and escape from living in present moment. Let's get back to living in present moment.
Well, I think it's a great idea, and it's a great. I'm glad that your entrepreneurial brain kicked in and created My Life Link so that many can benefit from it and really connect with each other. So I think it's a great idea. That being said, Matt, we're about out of time on today's interview, but I'd like to give you the opportunity to leave some contact info if somebody wants to learn more about MetEvolve Inc. And also if somebody wants to learn more and get involved with the My Life Link community. I mean, what's the best way for people to do that?
Yeah, I mean, social media wise, LinkedIn is probably my heaviest platform. So I think anyone interested can certainly hit me up, search for my name, Matt Seafeld, you know, I've got a lot of my stuff around MetEvolve and my Life Link on there. I think that, you know, there's so much opportunity and help. I mean, both these topics we talked about are huge, but I just want to press that on the MetEvolve side is that, you know, we are all impacted by the deficiencies in healthcare as consumers of healthcare. And so we have to remember that every one of us consumes healthcare in some form or fashion. And if this industry continues to be inefficient, and continues to, you know, deplete margin, it impacts all of us, right? So we have to look at the one thing that we control, which is people, right? And the one thing that I'll try to real quickly bridge LifeLink and the stuff we're doing at MetEvolve too is it's around looking at the human condition. If people woke up in the morning with purpose, living in present moment, doing the best job they can with the things they want to be doing, right? Imagine what they would do as individuals and imagine where society would be. And while that sounds aspirational, right, I do believe that everybody has that potential, but they've got to look at it and they have to realize it's hard work. It's not easy. There's not a button for it. Is that you have to really, you know, think about what do I want to do? And once you decide what you want to do and what you want to be, get obsessed about it and do everything you possibly can to get that outcome, right? I tell my kids I coach, you do not control outcomes in life, guys. You control actions. And if you do the right actions, you've got a good chance of getting the outcome you want. And so that's really what I would leave you at is let's get back to a society where we want to actually be achievers again, consistently.
Fantastic. And Matt, we'll put your LinkedIn profile and all that contact info into the show notes so that our audience can just really click on the links and head right on over there and connect. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or connecting with the show or the platform in general, what about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives, having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, and really what we can all learn from that so that we can all grow together. The Mission Matters platform is about us all learning and growing together. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Matt, really, it has been a pleasure. Thanks again for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it too. I look forward to hearing the show and hopefully your audience took something from our conversation. So I appreciate it.